Welcome to the Gifts Compass podcast. My name is Nicholas Toko and I'm an organizational effectiveness consultant and currently training as a Jungian analyst in Zurich, Switzerland. I'm from London in the UK and my family origins are from Uganda in East Africa.
My name is James Johnston. I'm the author of the book Jung's Indispensable Compass and the lead architect for the Gifts Compass inventory. I live in the United States, currently in Northwest Ohio.
My name is Annelise Lannes-Sais. I am a self-awareness and mental fitness coach, and I work with individuals wanting to add more meaning and enjoyment to their life. I am from Estonia and currently living in Geneva, Switzerland.
This podcast is about the Gifts Compass Inventory, or GCI. The GCI offers a fresh approach to Swiss psychologist Carl Jung's original 8 psychological types. The well-validated and broadly acclaimed Gifts Compass Inventory focuses on the personal growth and development of unique individuals. We're passionate about type and our aim is to help you understand type, how to use type to better understand yourself, to have better relationships at home, in a social setting, or in the workplace. I'd like to welcome Rene Peter to the GCI podcast. James, Annelise, and I are going to read his GCI profile. And for those of you who are familiar or not familiar with the GCI profile, it's part of the Gifts Compass, and it illustrates your relative enjoyment of 8 sets of gifts, as shown as the 8 inner points of the compass. And the compass also illustrates the 4 general orientations and 4 archetypal compass headings in an individual's psychological type. Each element is color-coded to indicate your level of enthusiasm. And while we all possess all 8 gifts to varying degrees, some come more naturally to you than others, your compass shows your strongest gifts, your preferred orientations to life, and your natural motivations for action. So you're going to hear the approach to interpreting GCI profile, what we call reading the melody. And we're going to look at Rene's enjoyment of the 8 gifts.
Good. So with Rene's profile, we have the realistic gifts or extroverted sensation in the lead. So with extroverted sensation or the realistic gifts in the lead, what do we know about Rene's biography? What are the attributes of extroverted sensation that we would expect to show up in Rene's life?
I think we would imagine that he loves to have fun. I would imagine he could be into sports, maybe loves food, good food. And I'm also thinking that he's quite fast-paced, like he wants to get things done fast, maybe. Rather faster than slowly.
Yes, good, yeah. And Nick, you know these gifts well.
I do, yes. So Rene is a man after my own heart. So I have extroverted sensation as well, which is the realistic gifts in Lee as my lead. So I really understand this particular gift. So, you know, essentially, I think it's summarized as accurately experiencing the moment. I'd imagine Rene really enjoys experiencing the world through the 5 senses, right? And in the moment. Sight, sound, smells, taste, touch, actively engaging the world, observant of others in quite a lot of detail. And interestingly, I always say to people, it's through the 5 senses, one or more of them. He probably enjoys, I'd say he enjoys the moment in particularly nature or activities like sports, cooking, dining out. If he drinks, I'd imagine particular crafts of beer or wine or even champagne, participating in and enjoying or watching sports, music, concerts, theater, travel. This gift in particular is very excited and energized by new experiences and also body focused or body oriented. I think James, you talked about kinesthetic intelligence. I think that's a really good word to talk about the body and realistic gifts. I'd imagine Rene gains a sense of well-being with when their body's aligned with, sounds probably a little bit out there, but when the body's aligned with the mind and the spirit, there's a certain sense of well-being that I'd imagine he gets from that. Yeah, those are my sort of initial interpretation of that, of realistic gifts.
Oh, nice. You do know that gift well. You do know that type well. Yeah, Jung called the extroverted sensation to be the most realistic of the eight types, very, very practically oriented. I don't think I can add anything to what Annalise and Nick have noted. But the tremendous interest in having fun, being sensually engaged with the world. And Nick mentioned, which was kind of new to me, that there might be a special sense of feeling in harmony with the mind. So it's interesting that the next type to arrive in this profile are the conceptual gifts, or what Jung called introverted thinking, highly oriented to ideas in the inner life, you know, a tremendous interest in ideas and conceptual thinking. What might we say about the conceptual gifts on their own, separate from extroverted sensation? What do we know about introverted thinking?
Quite different, actually, from the extroverted sensation. More like the opposite, actually. Likes to take the time, all the time in the world, to go and dive deeper into different topics of interest. Loves to ponder. Loves to see the systems, how things relate to each other. Reads a lot. Yeah, is using it as an imagination, but brings the logic along with it to make the dots connect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
yeah.
Questions a lot, and actually does not like to make final decisions because things may change.
Yes, ideas are always shaping up, taking new form. Yeah, interesting point about the time. I think extroverted sensation would be highly oriented to time and space. Introverted thinking seems to be oblivious to time, how much time anything takes.
Mm-hmm.
Nick, what do you notice?
Yeah, just to my last point about alignment with the mind, I feel, you know, I'd imagine Rene has a sense of that in the moment he really gets a sense of, yeah, that's right, this is the right idea, right concept. And I think at work in particular, very practical, very matter of fact, gets things done both at home and at work. But yeah, very interesting dynamic with conceptual gifts. I was thinking Rene may develop or build upon existing or new theories, concept or ideas, and then be able to implement them with practical ease. I think with realistic gifts in the lead in terms of enjoyment, he may have his own ideas, but also like to build upon the ideas of others in terms of their practical use. So there's this interesting extroverted, introverted dynamic, which I think works really well in the workplace, in organizations and companies, where he's probably very adept at turning insights into action. And this is, you know, probably my own projection, but I was thinking of data analytics, right? This is a very interesting area of work that I think he would really enjoy, but he would really grasp the insights from data analytics and then be able to put them into practical use, into practical action in an organization is kind of my projection there that I in terms of professional, I think he'd really excel at. So works really well in the workplace, organizations, companies. For the benefit of the community, now I'm probably now moving on to the next gift, which is social gifts. But it's interesting that extroverted feeling, which is social gifts, is, you know, the next one down, because I'd ask Rene, are his concepts, ideas, thinking geared towards the community, the world out here, or are they geared towards his own development? I get the sense it's probably, these conceptual gifts probably tend to be for the benefit of the community in practical action. Yeah. But yes, I'd imagine very, very interesting extroversion and introversion dynamic. one moment in the world, enjoying the world, the next thinking through deeply some concepts and ideas that could solve a communal problem, maybe.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting. I know someone else who had these two in the lead, and one of the things he noted, I'll be interested if this is true for Rene, that for him to deal with an idea, it first had to have a sort of an appearance in the world. It had to be an idea that was somehow tangible that he could go to work on. And I think we noted that the conceptual gifts are very good at strategizing, very good at systematic thinking. Data analysis is probably something that Rene would find fairly easy to do, dealing with the concrete data and thinking about it conceptually. And then the third gift, which also sort of, it's the exact opposite of introverted thinking. It's the exact opposite of the conceptual gifts, the social gifts, extroverted feeling. So I'm imagining that early in Rene's life, he might have felt a certain tension between these two, that on one hand, he would want to be out in the world, engaging with people, socializing. And on the other hand, he had this draw to the introverted side, to think conceptually and holistically about life. But I would say these three, with the addition of the social gifts, these are probably the three that have had the greatest influence in his development thus far. The social gifts, of course, are very interested in being with others, with creating harmony in relationships, being attentive to how other people are feeling, very empathetic, very much oriented to the norms and values, both of the group and of others. Anything else you want to add about the social gifts in this context, Annalise or Nick?
I'm just thinking that it could be by seeing so many things that needs to get done and taking into consideration all the people and then seeing all the insights and the issues and things can happen. It's really hard to be creating the harmony all the time with people, because I think there's, in Rene's case, he has so many elements kind of together at the same time to consider. But on the other hand, he, as the realistic gifts are in the lead, sure, he gets everything done. And, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I also see him as really very oriented towards others, towards groups, enjoys socializing in the moment. But with this particular interest in theories and concept, I was wondering whether he's probably quite attracted to joining social groups to debate theory or concepts. People, I think, might be quite surprised at his insights, because he's a very sociable, outgoing personality, and they might be a little bit surprised with this deep insights and wisdom. And I think he may bring to the group's attention, particularly why something might not be working, maybe something of interest or utility to the group. It might even resolve a conflict in the group, and if it has historical importance, I think then you get these aesthetics gifts, which is the next one, this sense of importance of the past. So I'd imagine some traditions and rituals or culture could be an area of interest for Rene in some way, and he might be quite insightful in a group situation, particularly of something of historical importance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, when we add the aesthetic gifts, very unusual gift set, really along with the visionary gifts, we have two kind of in the middle of his profile that would add a certain flavor to this combination. And as you pointed out, Nick, the aesthetic gifts have a certain sensitivity to the past. Jung called it a million-year-old consciousness, a sense of what has occurred in present circumstances, what has occurred in the past, and feeling that deeply. And the visionary gifts that see the big picture, that has a huge imagination, very big picture orientation to life, both of those would be supporting the conceptual gifts, introverted thinking. And the ascetic gifts, introverted sensation as one of the crossover types, would also be supporting both the social gifts and the realistic gifts. And when we see realistic and aesthetic together, for example, I think that lends credence to what Nick was saying earlier about Renee probably enjoying food and dining out or preparing food. I think some of the great chefs probably have those two in combination, realistic and aesthetic. But the aesthetic and visionary gifts are supplemental here. I think the big three are realistic, conceptual, and social. Extroverted sensation, introverted thinking, and extroverted feeling. And then down in the basement, we have the constructive gifts, extroverted thinking.
Mm. James, can I say something else just on aesthetics? Because I probably see that I see the big three like you do as well, but I wonder where there's a big four with aesthetic gifts. Sort of interesting. Renee thinks this sense of importance of the past, I'm looking at the four combined. You get this traditions of the group in the present moment. So hobbies may involve national traditions like music or dance or literature or data or information. Again, I'd love to hear from Renee about this, but I wondered whether historical traditions like music and dance could be something of interest to an individual with this profile.
Yeah, good point and good question. So when we hear from Renee, I'll be interested to hear his response. So I'm kind of glossing over the remaining three and kind of going straight to extroverted thinking. And so we know that when a gift or a type is more in what we call the shadow, it's simply less enjoyable, typically less accessible. It doesn't mean that Renee is not very good at it. It just means that he's not going to enjoy using this one as much as others, and so it may not show up as much. What would we know about constructive gifts, extroverted thinking, if it's less engaged than the others? What would that suggest?
I think we won't want to put Renee in a place where he needs to constantly create order or pay attention to details on the other hand, actually, I don't have a good answer to it right now.
Yeah, I was thinking that, again, so just to reiterate this, these are the least enjoyable ones. It doesn't mean it's a shortfall or anything like that, but maybe explaining the practical application of an idea, their own or of others, may be a bit challenging. So, having that idea, knowing how to apply it, is different from having the idea and explaining that idea and then delivering it. I think that could be a challenge. I would imagine in the workplace, if you're selling an idea, there'll be people who prefer extroverted thinking and would want to understand, how does this break it down into its component parts so I can understand this, right? May feel at loggerheads with others in terms of their behavior, maybe their culture, their situation. A person with this profile may feel like there's a clash of values, but because the focus is mostly on the group, it could feel like a bit of a tension. Insights oriented towards the external, I've said, to external world, less orientation towards self. So the group might influence their decision making more than their own self-reflected goals. And the other point I thought is maybe there's a plethora of insights, right? Concepts of ideas. But the ones that are truly, transformative for the individual, for others, maybe spending more time in self-reflection could help, just think which of these ideas is the right one for me, right? Rather than for the group. And that's more because I'm seeing, the intuition, both in visionary and catalytic as least preferred. But what strikes me is the idealistic gifts and constructive gifts are the least enjoyable, and so I'd imagine constructing the idea in terms of its component parts and is this of value to me could be areas of, development and, well, actually individuation, right? We've talked about individuation, that when the least preferred gifts are expressed, you kind of get on that path of individuation.
Yeah, that's the notion with individuation. This profile, in a way, is to forecast the future. With individuation, it's the types that are in the shadow that will want to be more fully expressed, typically in the second half of life. I thought it was interesting. The first five gifts, of the first five, four are essentially receptive or receptive-like. That is, Jung called the functions either rational or what he said was irrational. We use the term receptive because I think it's more characteristic of those functions that are not bound by rationality. Mm-hmm. But so the conceptual gifts, introverted thinking, they in a way they act like a receptive gift. It's as though they have no boundary. It's like, you know, we said they're not sensitive to how much time something would take. Extroverted thinking is highly sensitive to how much time something would take. So for Renee's life, it seems to me that, you know, extroverted thinking is very good at kind of creating order, organizing tables, goals, objectives, staying within certain boundaries. It's a good boundary maker. It will, extroverted sensation wants to experience everything. Extroverted thinking would put limits on that. You know, we're going to experience this, but not that. Mm-hmm. Introverted thinking, well, I've got five or six ideas that I'm thinking about. Extroverted thinking would say, all right, we're going to choose one, set our priorities and work on that. So with extroverted thinking in the basement, Renee may have so much going on that it's difficult for him to kind of keep track of it all, to sort of corral it all within some designated time frame. Mm-hmm. The social gifts, extroverted feeling, that would be a boundary maker. So extroverted feeling would create boundaries in terms of organizing, in terms of social norms or social values or what other people might regard as valuable or important. That would begin to tend to set some boundaries on these other four receptive types.
But maybe he doesn't, sorry.
No, please.
I was thinking like maybe he doesn't enjoy the written rules.
No.
Like maybe these written rules and policies are the things that drive him crazy and he doesn't want to have that.
Yes.
But traditions and cultural values are a different thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Good point. Yeah. So these are standards. These are rules. These are somebody else's ruling formulas that he needs to abide by. And that would rub him the wrong way. But to attend to the social norms and what other people value, that could have some appeal.
Yeah, I think that's right, Annalisa. I think if it's fun, if the thinking is fun, if it's in a fun environment, I think, you know, not so rigid and structured, and but there's an element of fun, then I think that would appeal to Renee. It's interesting you also said about boundaries, James. I was wondering whether the conceptual gifts of introverted thinking is a boundary. So if in a group, if he has a particular insight on something, maybe certain groups would appeal to him because he has an insight that he wants to share with that group. But also the introverted feeling sometimes I think is a boundary, perhaps speaking from a personal perspective. You know, those personal values can also determine which groups you work with. But also if you don't have the boundaries, then you might lose yourself to the group.
Yeah. And that's the... You know, that can happen with extroverted feeling. You can kind of lose your own sense of what you value by identifying so much with the values of others. And the idealistic gifts, introverted feeling would be a good counterpoint to that. And so we see introverted feeling also more in the shadow. And I would say introverted feeling is a much better boundary maker than introverted thinking. Because it feels so deeply, it's so attached to certain ideals and values. Whereas introverted thinking is a sort of a lifelong learner, constantly roaming ideas and concepts to see what else is interesting. Introverted feeling is more anchored. It's more anchored in deep feeling about certain values, certain ideals. And anything that disagrees with those you know, could be outcasts. So that idealistic feeling, introverted feeling, could be a very good boundary maker. Well, I think we've reviewed most of the gifts. We haven't touched on the catalytic gifts, the intuition drawn outward. We haven't said too much about the visionary gifts, introverted intuition, intuition drawn inward. These would both be very imaginative, able to see possibilities, but they're more sort of in the middle. And I think the more distinctive types are those that are closer to the top and those that are closer to the bottom. So maybe we've covered enough of the profile to now turn to Renee and see if anything that we've been talking about makes sense in terms of his experience with life. Renee, how do you feel about what we've been saying?
I think I just keep silence. You just wrote my biography. Well, let's start with how my life developed. And I think then you will hear that it will tick a lot of the boxes you mentioned. From the beginning, I was a sportsman. When I was 9, my father said, well, you're a member of 5 sports clubs. Is that not enough? No, I want to do 6. And I did it all the same time. I had on a Saturday, I had 4 competitions going on, just going from one to the other one, having friends in all the clubs. And actually, that was a very important part of my life, and it stayed very important. I studied chemistry. But chemistry, what I liked most of chemistry was the practicum, the cooking, the smelling. I was very good at that. The theory, I liked it, and some I liked a lot, but then it were the complicated theories. But most of all, I loved the experiments. When I graduated, I finished with chemistry. I specialized in a part of chemistry that was not exciting, but I came to know that too late. I couldn't switch to another part of chemistry. So when I finished chemistry, it was not the path for me to continue. And then I switched to IT. And within the IT area, very fast, I moved to the area of the implementation of software. And modifying it, optimizing it. And I did that for 5 years with a large international company. And then I started my own company. I worked in Asia for 1 year. Then I came back. I started my own company. And at that time, it was quite easy to make sufficient money in the IT. And I did that. And I used the money to live out my sports life. Basically, my calendar was in the spring, I was playing tennis with tennis friends, part of a club. Also, they're responsible for the competition and for the parties. After that, I joined my cycling friends, and we went cycling all over Europe, into the mountains, into the cyclos, just really enjoying it. Complete different set of friends. And after that came the running season. Just go as fast as possible. And in the winter, it was skating and winter sports. And then at the end of the winter, then the preparations for the tennis started again. And it went on for 10 years. And I was getting better and better, better and better, and not listening to some small little soft voice in my mind. You cannot do this your whole life. You've got to stop. You've got to do also something else. I was just going on. And when you sport a lot, there is a lot. You're hungry a lot of time. So you really enjoy food. So yes, definitely. I enjoy food. I prepare food. And I cook it, and I love the taste, and I love to go out and dine. But it was really a little bit a strange situation, because when I was 45, I played the best tennis. I was top 25 in my country in at my age. With running, I was still running faster and faster. Cycling also, skiing also. I was not listening to the voice like, well, maybe you should do it a little bit slower, calm down, and then you can do it for a longer period. I just went on. And then a serious injury came up and couldn't do anything the way I was used to do it. I couldn't understand it. Just trying to get back for years. Slowly, slowly feeling more depressed, but not recognizing it because it was a feeling I had no experience with, because I was just used to live the life, to enjoy everything with my friends. And I put more attention to my job. So in my job, because I was a contractor, and the main job was more to earn money to be able to live the life I wanted to live. But then I paid more attention to my job. So I developed my skills in my job and I became a project manager, but a project manager driven by the solution. I know what the solution is. I know how to implement it and I can lead the way. And then I think six years ago, I was assigned to a big project and I could do it. There were like between 10 and 25 people on the project. And I was just, don't we do it this way, this way, this way, this way. The conceptual thinking was working optimal there. But also that had a shadow side, because it stayed in my head all the time in my head. And at the end of the project, I was really very stressed because I couldn't leave it. Too many people were depending on me, I felt. So at the end of the project, like 4 or 5 years ago, I had a party, and in that party, I was confronted with friends of mine who just told me all kinds of stories. Oh, we're going to do this, go to this sport event and this sport event. And I couldn't do it anymore. So and then I had some very depressed moments, and I decided I should try something else. And by advice of a friend of mine who was just divorced, I went to a workshop two days. It's, system works for companies, but half of the people were crying after the introduction. And that opened a window for me. So I know the life outside, but there is also a life inside. And wow, what can be in there? So that completely changed my life. I now work less than one day a week in the IT. And maybe I will stop completely. And I started to study psychology, philosophy. And I was one of the group in the Netherlands 3 years ago. Jungian training was started. And I was a part of the group there. And there also, it started a new life for me, because the concepts behind it, what is it? And also, at the same time when I started training, I started working as a volunteer with people who feel some existential loneliness for different reasons, because I thought, well, I have no experience at all in this area, so I could study it, but that's just study. I need to practice it. So I have now for almost 2.5 years, I have now five, we call them buddies, and I see them on a weekly basis, just be with them. And I had to learn that, just to be with them, to practice my theory. What is it in practice? But it all comes together, because in my realistic gift, I can see what people are saying. I can hear that recent disruption in the story they're telling. So I can, hey, there is something weird what you're telling now. That doesn't fit. And I have my continuous growing conceptual minds about psychological types, about Jungian theory, about Lacan, about Freud, about Kernberg, about Pauli Jung-Eisendrath, about John Beebe, about whoever, James Johnston. So the puzzle is giving me more and more pieces to be able to grasp what is going on in my bodies. And then I'm driven by the work socially because I get energized when I'm connecting with people one at one. I really get energized. So that combination is what I'm doing now. It's completely different from the outside sports. Now it's more in the inside. And I also now, I recognize more what the pitfalls are from the realistic playing sports, but do it unlimited, just going without boundaries as far as you can. You will get your injuries. Enjoy it in a different way. And I learned that. It took me years to learn that. But now I really enjoy it. If I just go with my girlfriend, and she doesn't have to shout, go slower, go slower. I can't keep up with you. No, I just ask her, is this okay? Are we going okay? Oh, let's have a lunch there. And also with the social part, I think one of you mentioned, if you are too social, you forget your own agenda. I had my own agenda, but someone was calling, hey, let's have a beer or a coffee. I would just, yes, of course, I will go. And now I've learned to pay more attention what I also really need. So it's more balanced now. And I don't have to reach out to people all the time. Now they reach, it's more in balance now. They reach out to me also. And about the aesthetics, I love history. I love history and I think unconsciously I put it together when I was organizing the sports events. So now I'm more getting in touch with all kind of groups, like the training group, the Jungian training group still exists. There's another troop where I followed some training. I get more involved and I always get a sense. I think I get a sense what's good, what is best for the group. And I think history and traditions play a role in that. But I also learned not to overstretch that. Just let it develop itself. Just give it a start and wait for people and give them also space to bring in their own ideas. It doesn't have to be the way I think it must be. And that creates less tension for myself. I can just enjoy it. And even if it goes to a direction I had not foreseen, that doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't have to be the way I had thought about it. And I think, Nick, you mentioned knowing your body, being in balance with your body. I recognize that. I can feel my body. And I go to a doctor when something is wrong, but just to give me some information because they don't understand. And I need to do it myself because I have much more details and a much broader picture than what my therapist or my doctor is telling me. And I know I'm right. I have been right all my life, even with my injury. It was a very strange injury. I found a way to get around and to live with it. No other psychotherapists helped me. I've been to the best. They couldn't help me. I solved it myself.
Yeah, could I say something just on that? Because I think it's interesting you talked about, first of all, a really wonderful story, biography. It's great. I was really interested to hear you talking about the voice. And for me, I really see that as the future focus part of you, maybe the visionary gifts, the catalytic gifts, the intuition was the voice saying, you know, in the future, yes, in the moment, fun is not going to be good. Because I also did sports up until, you know, my mid-40s, and suddenly I got an injury. Because like you, I was pounding the pavement, running every day, 10 miles a day, and I didn't think about the future. But it's different to this kinesthetic intelligence, which is, I almost get goosebumps. My hair starts, you know, I just know when I'm in my body and in my mind, it's something very different. It's like I'm in the moment, and you're in your body, and you can almost, you know, hear your blood moving in your veins. it's right. different to that. But yeah, that voice sounded as the future focus part of you that is there in the middle, not quite the most enjoyable one, but obviously about intuition, I think. Yeah. But yeah. Great. A wonderful story, Renee. I really, expert sensation myself. I really resonated with a lot of that.
Yeah. And I think the very nice thing is, I've started a second study. I feel very privileged that I can do it. And there's a whole life in front of me that's how it feels. And if I just have to make one remark about the psychological types and the training I did with James. I think when we started the training, I really feel the discomfort. I didn't know what was happening. I was feeling slightly depressed. And my analyst said, well, just continue. Just let it go. It will lead you somewhere. And you know by the theory that the worse you feel, the bigger the change will be. And it took me 4-5 weeks. And then suddenly in January, things changed. The quicksand disappeared and I could feel the solid ground. And what it gave me is to really understand, not understand, but feel and accept that other persons who are so different oriented than I am are exactly the same value. I'm not better than somebody who is completely different from me. And that was something inside me, I think, that was working. I was always looking for a hierarchy. Where am I on a hierarchy also in the social part? Is somebody better or under me? I was very competitive. And with this becoming conscious, my wife, I'm not married, but I'm together with her for 35 years, and she's completely opposite. She's my break in everything. So we have in our history a lot of troubles and discussion, and not only discussions. We went to therapy 3 or 4 times, but we stay together because we know that we needed each other. And she said after this course, after the training, so like in January, she said, well, what I'm experiencing from you, that you really accept me now as I am and you give me the space to express myself, I've never felt better in my life. And I'm just like 35 years. And I needed 4 years of this area and coming together with James, with your training, your psychological tribe, to really incorporate the feeling and also being able to share it to somebody who is so different. And even if I know her already for 35 years, it's amazing. And it's not only with her. I have a sister and she's mentally handicapped. Since 1.5 years, I was her bigger brother, but from a distance. Now, when I see her, she's just sitting next to me, feeling safe and that I'm really interested in her. I don't see her as a handicapped person, mentally handicapped person, but just as a person she is. And she doesn't think about it. She's just sitting next to me, talking to me, having fun with me, completely different. I'm not the big brother at a distance anymore, but I'm feeling as a companion. And I've had it with many friends. So my relation with people has really changed and that accelerated the last 2 months so much that I was really almost in my mind a little bit, feeling a little bit hysteric. I was feeling in my mind, I was started to sleep not that well. And it made me think about the project I had 5 years ago, that all the thoughts in my head, it was just too much. I couldn't get it out anymore. And I had the same feeling. My wife, my girlfriend, she said, well, it's interesting, but you've got to do something because you're too energetic. You're too alive. And then I realized, what did I do 4 years ago? How did I get rid of the stress? I started meditating. So I started meditating again, and I just, a friend of mine, he's a Zen master, a Zen teacher. And now I'm convinced that I it has to be a part of my life to balance it out, to keep that my conceptual thinking will not take me over. I need to drive those thoughts and those ideas also a little bit out of my mind, and meditating really helps me with that. And it also creates space for deep reflecting and to trust my intuition more and more. So don't think about it, but trust your intuition. Just let it go and do what your intuition gives me. And that's an area that slowly is building.
That's beautiful, Rene. And so well articulated. And it's really this story of individuation, as Jung describes it, you know, moving through these phases in life where we're becoming more whole, and more is more fully available to us in the process.
Yeah. And I think I'm lucky. I think I have a secure attachment from my family. So that makes it possible for me to be open for new things out of my comfort zone. I'm really lucky with that. When I look around to other people and I see them struggling, I feel that I'm really lucky. Yeah,
it's interesting, Rene, because I think realistic gifts, you know, expert sensation, it's in the moment. It doesn't like quiet, right? It has to fill every gap with something. And so I think as people with expert sensation, as they get older, they learn just to, it's okay just to not say anything. You don't have to react to this. It's interesting that you like tennis, because tennis is a good way, I think is a great way to describe expert sensation. It's like a tennis match. You hit the ball and you expect someone to hit it back and you hit it again. There's no end, right? But as we get older, these other gifts that are least enjoyable also want to live. And I can see with your profile, we can see that reflection, deep reflection, giving space, trust, intuition brings a different dimension to your personality. And that voice, I think for me, is that visionary gifts and the catalytic gifts. But you know, you've got to sit and be comfortable with quietness and reflection. That's why, you know, at the beginning of our podcast, I always say to James and Annalise that I need that cycle, that structured cycle, because it makes me become just to reflect before I speak.
And also I'm more able. I learned that from my buddies, because some of them are very, have a very traumatic, life. And I learned there how to be with them. And I also do that with friends now, automatically. And then you hear the different stories. Then you get the stories from their life. And that's so enriching. So you get it paid back with interest. and it's just, I think last month I said to Birgit, my girlfriend, I said, I think I have had moments last week. I felt better than ever in my life, even better than when I was just playing my sports life.
Amazing.
Almost 60.
So well articulated. I had goosebumps listening to your story, the whole from the beginning till the end. And I had in my mind today, like this whole week, that I was going to ask you this question of when you did the gifts compass, but you answered this question in more detail than I could have ever imagined. It was amazing.
Yeah. It feels amazing. And of course, not always, but you just need to have the moments. If you have the moments, that's okay. And be happy with that. Yeah.
Can I ask you, what made you feel uncomfortable in the beginning when you started the compass?
I don't know. I really don't know. I think it was something in my unconscious. Unconscious. I think it was to experience to accept that what I did in the relation with my girlfriend, what my influence on her was, that I kept her small, that I have not been able to create the space for her to give her the time to express what she really is, and to just be with it, to be just, that's not nice to accept that from yourself. And I think that might be one of the unconscious reasons that was coming up. Okay, if this is happening, if this is true, if this is what you are as an extrovert, if this is what you're doing with introverted people, you have a very introverted girlfriend. This is what you're doing. Oh my gosh, did I do that? Yes, I did.
Yeah, it's interesting. We're drawn to those people who are opposite us in many ways, and certainly typologically. And I think as you were experiencing that, Renee, you know, acknowledging the value of your girlfriend, you're also implicitly acknowledging the value of what you had, in a way, left behind in your own life, what was in your own shadow, that also wanted to be acknowledged and enlivened.
And it was quite heavy, and it was strange because it was 4 or 5 weeks. Just telling to Barbara, what is happening here? I don't know. I'm just doing things I like, and I don't feel. And then okay, something is going on. Something is going on somewhere.
Yeah, and often the gifts in the shadow often feel like it feels uncomfortable. That's when you know you're in those functions you don't like. It just feels uncomfortable. And also boredom. People talk about feeling boredom. So they're in that liminal stage when they're starting to move away from the gifts that they really enjoy to the ones that they least enjoy. There's this period where they feel bored because they're not doing the extroverts and sensation stuff. They're more reflective. So yeah, that's an interesting. But I love what you said about when you give people space, you actually hear about it. I experience the same thing, that when I'm very extroverted, when I was being consciously introverted and spending less time talking and just listening to my friends, I found out so much about my friends that I had no idea about.
Exactly.
Stuff that they had never told me because I just never gave them the space for them to tell me, right?
Exactly.
And so I do understand that extrovert, becoming more introverted has, it opens up a whole new world that extroverts might not necessarily value.
Yeah, and I in the past when I was with somebody, I was always making associations continuously. Oh, think about this, and I see it. If I look at it now, it's like, what was that? It's like a kind of egocentric dissociation every time. And now I don't do that in anymore. And if it comes up, I just wait. I wait till it is appropriate to bring it. And that totally changed my relation even with my parents. They are still living. And so it gave me also one of the things I think that's mentioned for the social part when it's too one-sided, it can get a little bit cold. It lacks the warmth and the intimacy. And that's what I feel now more. I was able to express that 4 years ago when I thought about myself, what do I really want? And I thought, I really want to be able to have more intimate relations with people. And that's what has happened slowly. So I knew it, but I had no idea how I could do it. But by just following the things that popped up and just experiencing and trying it, I think it happened. So strange. But the difficulty for me now is I feel so privileged, but with one of my best friends, if I see it, so that's now difficult because I've gained so much experience that I can think I can help people, but cannot help them. I can just be there for them. And when they tell me they need help, then I can provide something, but not.
But sometimes being with them is actually also helping. It's about the energies kind of connecting. You don't even have to say much, but you just go and you be and you be and you be, and eventually a little bit of change starts to happen.
Yeah, and that's what happens with my buddies. Mm-hmm. And I can sit on my hands and I can prepare and I can do that. I learned to do that. I couldn't, with my first three buddies, I couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. But then one gave a very good reflection on me. Well, what you're doing is not helping me. You're giving a positive, you only tell the positive things. You're associating with your own examples. No, I need you to be with me. Oh, you cannot? We stop our meetings. And it was like, oh, gosh. Mm-hmm. So with my buddies and maybe when I will work with clients in the future, yes, I can do it. But with friends, with your best friend, when you're really emotional involved, that's difficult. To stay sitting on your hands and just see him destroying his own health. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. That's very hard. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you, Renee, for that very comprehensive and very interesting biography. I think we did, James and Lisa and I think we ticked quite a few boxes, I think, right, James and Lisa, in terms of our interpretation of your profile?
For me, you ticked almost all of them.
But also the way you articulated everything is very deep and, yeah, very nice. You have the ability now to, thanks to your extroverted, like the sovereign coder, to be able to express all these deep thoughts and feelings and what you're going through, which is a great asset, all of this coming together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it feels like that. So thank you all for your remarks, for your comments, for your melody.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.